Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
I sense just an expectation for the presence of the Lord here, and he's been with us. He's going to continue to be with us, and how many would say, I want more of him today? Yeah, it's my heart too. I've been absolutely just blown away over the last little bit here about just some of the stories that I'm hearing of what God's been doing. It's been wonderful to see. Last weekend, we had ministry times, and there were healings. There were just all kinds of beautiful things happening. In fact, one girl, she came up to me after the service just weeping, saying that she believed that God healed her spine of scoliosis. And she's walking that out. She's going to pursue, the doctor to kind of confirm that. But she really believes that he's doing that. And I'm believing that God's going to do a full and complete work in her. I believe that. Somebody else felt like God healed them of trauma from earlier on in their life. And they came up to me after the service and said that they felt cool liquid circle their head and that God literally invaded their mind and their memories and healed trauma. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I want to say, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life, we'd love to hear, because we love to share what God is doing among our community, and we just love to give Jesus the praise for that. Let's never settle for anything less than what he says is normal. Let's never settle for anything less than he says is normal. You read the book of Acts, that's normal. Go read it this afternoon, the whole thing. It's normal. That's normal. What he says is to be is what our standard for normal is to be. That's where we get our standard. I woke up one morning last week, and I just heard like a whisper of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes God speaks really loud in your ear and through circumstances or through his word or however he speaks to you. And then sometimes it's like a little whisper. And I woke up, and I think it was like Tuesday morning, and I just had this sense 2 weeks ago that God wanted to heal bodies this last Sunday, and he wanted to heal trauma. So we leaned into that. I also had this sense that God wanted to impart something from what he was doing in the students to us as adults. How many say that's a good thing? And we leaned into that, and it turned into him moving powerfully. The reality of God moving powerfully in a service isn't that the preaching doesn't happen, because the word of God is important. But there are times where we have to just follow him in what he's doing. 10:45 service, Pastor Gary didn't preach, and God just moved powerfully among us. Here's the thing. I want to be most aware of him and what he is doing. I want to be most aware of what the Spirit of the Lord is doing whenever we gather together, any other moment. Because we always release the reality that we're most aware of. We always release the reality of what we're most aware of. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. This word quench is, do not extinguish it. Do not put it out. Do not stop the flow of something. Does anybody have a garden hose? I use my garden hose. I turn the water on, and sometimes when I have to change the nozzle, I'll just kink the hose so that the water stops, so I can just switch the thing, and then I put it back on, and then I release the flow. It's kind of like that. Don't bend it in half to stop the flow of the water coming out. When the Holy Spirit is moving in you, when he is leading you, when he is directing you, when he is drawing you, don't kink the hose. When he's moving in our midst, we're not going to kink the hose. That is just my heart's commitment to us. We don't want to stop the flow of what he's doing, both in you or when we're together. I just want to just say this from the outset today. I'm pumped to preach today, by the way. I have had such a few days of just an encounter with the Lord that I just feel like God is just, his desire is to pour out his Spirit among us in such a powerful way. But I want you to know, I have absolutely no desire in doing or interest in doing man's Sunday morning agenda. I just don't have any interest in that. We come for him. We come to meet with him. He's the reason that we're here. And my heart is that we would be with him when we join together in this room, that we would gaze upon him like we were doing, that we would gaze upon his beauty, that we would gaze upon his wonder and his holiness, and that his presence would be the very center of our gatherings. I'm telling you, and that when we leave this place, that we would be transformed, that our hearts would burn, that there would literally be a burning of heart when we leave this place, and we'd be empowered to make him known through the assignment and the mission that he's given us. Did you know that every one of you has a mission? Every one of you is called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whatever it is you're doing, God wants to touch you in such a way that you are empowered to do it. David said in Psalm 34, 8, he said, we sang about it today, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." How many know there's a difference between hearing somebody share about an amazing meal that they had? Like, I'm on this eating thing, so I'm trying to eat healthy. And my family yesterday had this amazing manicotti. And I smelled it. And I looked at it. And I wanted it. But I didn't take it. Right? You know, yeah. We can give the Lord a praise for that. I didn't take it. But there's a difference between them talking about how good it is and me actually partaking of that manicotti. It's a terrible analogy. I'm so sorry. But it's the truth. It's the truth. There's a difference between knowing about God and actually sitting down and partaking of him, tasting for ourselves, seeing for ourselves how good he is. If we just know about him, that's called religion. But when we actually encounter him, that changes everything on the inside of us. And when we gather, and when we're here or we're somewhere else and we're gathering in his name, there's an invitation to taste. There's an invitation to see. There's an invitation to experience his goodness. A moment in his presence changes literally everything. And here's the truth, and this is something I want us to think about, that God will allow us to carry as much of his presence as we're willing to guard and protect. He's willing for us to carry as much of him as we desire and that we will protect. There's an unlimited supply of the presence of the Lord. That's why it matters how we steward the presence of God. That's why this matters. The Holy Spirit comes and he lives in us when we believe. I've talked about this a couple weeks in a row a few weeks ago. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon us through the baptism of the Spirit, right? In power. That's what Jesus said would happen. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We see this in the book of Acts. And guess what? It's not a one-time filling. It's not a one-time filling. It's a continual filling. They were filled and they were filled again. They were filled and they were filled again. I read this quote, came across this a couple weeks ago by this old-time pastor, Dr. Lloyd Jones. I've not really read much else of his. I've seen his name around over the years. But he was a Welsh minister. He was actually the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London in the mid-1900s. That feels weird to say 1900s, right? That was just 20-some years ago. And he was talking in this little quote I read about being filled with the Spirit. And somebody said to him one day, said, "I was baptized with the Spirit at conversion. So there's nothing more for me to seek because I've got it all." This person said this to him. And his response to them was that, "You've got it all?" He said, "If you've got it all, I simply ask in the name of God, why are you as you are?" If you've got it all, why are you so unlike the apostles? Why are you so unlike the New Testament Christians? I want to stand before you today, even as your pastor, and say, I do not have it all, but I hunger for more of him. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation. Church, I don't know. Today is kind of like a little bit of a buffet rather than a. It's, I'm on the food thing, aren't I? Than a, you know, like a themed meal. Typically, I'll get a little passage and I'll just kind of wet it. But today's kind of a buffet. I hope it all connects. If it doesn't, just take something you like from the buffet today. Okay? You seem happy today. We can do this, right? It's going to be good. It's going to be good. But I want to tell you, I desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit for our church. I really do. You know, there are people that mock that idea. I've known people that have mocked that idea. They say, hey, that's foolishness. I want to tell you, I want more. I desire for us to continue to yield to all that he has until we fully look and we fully align with who Jesus said we were to be until he comes. Until he comes. I want to tell you today, there's more. There's more. And I sense the Spirit from the second worship started today. I just sense the Spirit's longing to pour out in our midst today. Jesus said this in John 7. I'm going to hit some scriptures today. They'll be on the screen. He said this on the last day of the feast. He raises his voice. He stands up and he cries this out. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow. Everybody say flow. Flow. Rivers of living water. Now this, he said about the Spirit. Jesus was prophesying about what would happen when the Holy Spirit would come and would be poured out on the believers after his ascension on the day of Pentecost. And what he said is he said it would be like a river and it would flow. He didn't say it would be like a lake. He said it would be like rivers. Now you think about what he's saying here. He's saying this. He's saying a drink of him turns your innermost being into a river that releases a flow of living water that comes out from you. This inner reality and your innermost being, one drink turns into a river that releases the flow of the Holy Spirit. The invitation is, if anyone thirsts. Is anyone thirsty today? If anyone thirsts, come and drink, and from you will flow a Holy Spirit river. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't only point us to an experience we had in the past. I am so thankful for all of those moments where he filled me, where I was baptized in the Spirit and refilled and all of that. It's not measured by what I contain. It's measured by what flows out from me. What flows out from my life. Holy Spirit is the flowing presence of Jesus carrying the heart of the Father God to the world around us. And anything less than a flowing river in us is less than what he said was ours. Some of us, I believe, have been settling for dead and dried up swamps when he promised a flowing river. Have you ever been there before? That's to bring encouragement to you that there's more. Some of us are so depleted. Some of us are so wore out. And I want to tell you that if your heart isn't flowing, I want to encourage you, it's the good news. There's a river. There is a river. There is a river that is flowing. I want to tell you that this goes way beyond religious routine. You hear me say that a lot. But there's something in me that wars against the religious spirit. There's something in me that just wars against this like routine that takes us out of wonder. I want to tell you, this thing of walking with Jesus and being full of the Spirit is about tasting and seeing. It's not just hearing something or knowing a bunch of facts. It's about an encounter with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He's the most real one there ever was. And he's looking for a people who desire him, who will flow with him, who will allow him to rest upon them in such a way that it impacts everything around them. Who will make his presence the priority of life and who will put him at the first place of every place. And who will honor him with everything else. I'm not talking about a mechanical punching in and out and doing your time for God. Jesus is talking about an invitation to drink something that will satisfy the longing in our heart. Does anyone have a longing in your heart that is unmet? The world certainly does, but I believe many in the church, we long because we know there's more. We wake up in the morning and there are days we're like, this isn't it. I know this isn't it. And I want to tell you that it's like, he's like, take a drink because I want to flow through you in such a way that you're fully alive on the inside. I'm trying. Everyone is invited to drink. Everyone's invited to taste. Everyone's invited to see. And here's, I think, where we get into a little bit of trouble, that in the church we become okay with where we're at, and we say, yeah, I've had a drink. I've had a drink. I had that moment with God. I drank. I remember that little season of revival in my life. I had a drink. I want to say to you, great, have another. Have another. Have another. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The word here, be filled, is a continual filling of the fullness of the Spirit of God. It's a continual drinking, so you can have continual flowing out of you. Do I sound really Pentecostal today? You know what this whole thing is like? I was like, oh, Lord, I feel like I'm going to be all over the place with this message. But I felt like the freedom to just be like, I'm just going to let it out. Like, I'm just going to let out what I feel like the heart of God is for today. And I want to tell you, there is a river of God flowing right now. And that river is full of joy and it's full of life. I can try and teach you about all kinds of things. But I believe today is a day where he actually wants to do something where you get in that river and that river flows in you in such a way that, yeah, you can sit and argue with this person or that person about theology. But you know what? He wants to give you an encounter that nobody can take away from you. And not just an encounter, a continual flowing encounter with the living God. It was released in the fullness on the day of Pentecost, and it's available for all who are thirsty. There is a limitless supply of the Spirit of God to be poured out in your life, and it's not one time, it's continual. Some of us have settled for duty and routine. And as your pastor, I want to say there's good news. This isn't about duty and routine. Some of us have settled for dead and dry. Some of us have settled for depleted and discouraged when he's promised pleasure in the joy of his presence. I'm telling you today, is there anybody thirsty? Is there anybody hungry in this place? I think that David, King David, the psalmist David, had the key. And he didn't even have the full access to what we have today. But he tapped into something. He knew that there was something more than a box of the ark of his presence. He knew that there was something more. And he pursued that because he was a lover of the presence of God. He was a man after God's own heart. And he pressed in for more of God. And I've just been meditating on this little Psalm 16. A couple of verses here. And I want to just read them to you. Verse 8, Psalm 16, David said this. He said, I have set the Lord continually before me. Continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Verse 11, he says, you make known to me the path of life. Come on. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I think sometimes we read a verse like that and we're like, yeah. Okay, David, wonderful for you. That's not my experience. I want to tell you today, this is the reality. This is the standard. This is the reality. He said, I set the Lord continually before me. That word means to place, to put something in its rightful place. David made it a daily rhythm, a daily practice to put God right in front of him. He turned his attention to him until he became aware of him. Then he was at his right hand. He turned his attention to him. I have continually set the Lord before me. Church, hear this. I have continually set the Lord before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He turned his attention to him and he became aware of him. And the result was he was not shaken. There are so many things, so many people being shaken right now. But the one who sets the Lord continually before them will not be shaken. And I believe today that there is something for us. There is something about this continually placing Jesus in his rightful place before us in our lives, seeing and recognizing his closeness until we actually become aware of it. So when I continually put him in front of me over and over and over again, the discipline of coming before the Lord before him, then what happens? I recognize that he's at my right hand. I recognize that he's there. And it becomes an awareness of him in a measure that we didn't have before because we weren't aware. I think sometimes we give up kind of quick on God. Hear me on this. I tried to be with God for a few weeks. I gave it a month or two. Guilty? I mean, I don't know about that, but I do know about that. I know about that. Like, oh man, I went for God for like 2 weeks. Man, it was dry. Nothing really happened. I went for God for like 2 months. I was radical. I fasted. You know what I mean? Where is he? No. David said, I continually set the Lord. I continually. Church, there is something to the continually for us today. There is something to the continually placing him before us until we are aware that he is there. And the result is I am not shaken. I am not shaken. Yes, I see that obstacle over there. Yes, I see that giant that's right in front of me, that mountain. Yes, I see that difficulty, that thing that I don't know what to do about. We're not in fantasy land, right? But I'm in such a pattern of continually looking at him right there in front of me, that his face is before me, that my heart and my eyes are set on seeing him, that I see him before I see all the other things. Worship is one of the greatest ways that we continually set him before us, right? Like, what does a psalm say? I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I enter his courts with praise. I know we've heard it forever, but you know what? If your life is filled with all the negatives and you're talking about all the problems all the time, thanksgiving isn't going to be on your mouth. How do you enter in? And you're like, why do I not feel God? Why do I not feel the pleasures forevermore? Why do I not live in the reality of the joy? Why is my heart not flowing? Right? Like, enter his courts with praise. I'll tell you, that's the way in. Worship isn't, praise isn't just something we do before the message. And I'll tell you what, if you're only worshiping and praising God for 45 minutes once a week, it's not enough. I tell you, your heart is not going to flow. The realities of what he said are available will not be yours. Even though they've been freely given and you don't earn it, they won't be yours. Your heart will not flow. David said, I continually set him before me. Continually. I'm like prancing around here. I don't know what's happening. Some of you are mad at me. I can see it. You look through the, you say, I don't know what to worship. I don't know what to say. Grab a psalm. Well, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. I'll tell you what, I've hit little moments in my life. One recently where I was getting a little hung up, that the enemy was just pressing and pounding on me. Does the enemy ever pound on you? You know, it's just the truth. Let's be real. There are times where, like, man, sometimes nights are hard. Sometimes things happen in the middle of the night. But I'll tell you what, and I was accepting it. I was just kind of like living in it. And all of a sudden, I was like, no. In the middle of the night, I will magnify the Lord. I will exalt him. What does that mean? We don't make him bigger. He's as big as he could be. But I see him bigger. I'm going to exalt his name in the middle of the night, right? Like, I'm going to praise him. Bless the Lord. At all times, his praise will continually be in my mouth. Am I too fiery for you? I'm sorry. I do want to calm down. I'd love to talk quieter. I know that's hard on people sometimes, but yeah. So, I'm not going to a buffet after church today. This is why worship is so important. You guys, seriously, I want to tell you, why do we give this time that we give? You know, a lot of places are much shorter, and that's fine. That's what they're called to do. Why do we give the time? Because there's something that happens. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. It's the way into the reality of it. And this is such a key, because then, here's the thing, when I have set him before me and I'm aware of him, that he's my right hand, I won't be shaken. So when I see those other things, guess what? I've seen him first. When I see those, when I encounter those other things, I've encountered him first. And when I've encountered him first, yes, that might be big, but he's bigger. I will not be shaken. We always release the reality of what we're most aware of. So we need to become more aware of him than aware of anything else. I saw this quote this last week that said, Jesus is not reacting and responding. He's ruling and reigning. And although Jesus certainly responds in all kinds of ways, I want to tell you, when I'm most aware that he's ruling and reigning, it changes how I process and I see every detail of my life and the world around me. When I see him as he is, when I set him before me as the one who has been exalted to the highest place, who's been given the name that is above every other name, the one that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him as Lord, when I begin to meditate on that and I begin to set him before me in that way, I'm telling you, it changes how I view every circumstance and every news headline, because I see that this is real, but I see it through him. I see it through him. And I want to tell you today, that isn't just Sunday morning talk. You can take that to the pillow tonight. When fear and anxiety comes knocking on the door, you can begin to worship in the middle of the night right where you are. I'm telling you, if you don't want to wake up your spouse, your spirit can worship, not do it out loud. Some of you right now, I want to say this, encourage you. Some of you need to get out of bed, go to a room alone, and begin to exalt the name of Jesus right in the middle of the night. Right in the middle of that dark moment, you need to get out of your bed and you need to go and exalt the name of Jesus and drink him in right there. Yes, we see the circumstances that surround us, but I have set him before me and I see him as he is, and I will not be shaken. There is a fullness of the Spirit that is mine. In the midst of whatever I face, the pleasures of his presence far surpass the difficulty. Yes, the difficulty is real. Some of you are like, man, he's like a super Christian. No. I have difficulties every day. Every day of my life. I have stuff that I have to work through every day of my life. Yes, there's pain. Does anybody experience pain? Yes, there are tears. Yes, there are dark nights, but the joy of knowing him and the pleasure of his presence is more real, and it outlasts them all. That's the truth. And this internal reality reigns above every external. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in us. There is a river whose streams make glad, and there is a fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore in his presence. Come on. I think we should just give the Lord a big shout of praise for that today. Can we actually just lift up praise? I lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. We exalt your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. We praise your name. Come on, don't stop. Forget about the routine and exalt the name of the Lord. We bless your name. It'll continually be in our mouth. We continually put you before us. We set you before us. We exalt you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord in the dark night. Bless the Lord when the anxiety comes. Exalt the name of Jesus. Praise his name together. Magnify the Lord with me. Taste and see that he is good. Come on. Come on. I'm so glad he's so real. He's so real. The story of Stephen in the book of Acts, Acts 6 and 7. Here's another part of the buffet. It's so powerful. I don't know if you've read it. The Bible says that there's this man named Stephen. And it says that he was full of grace and the power of the Spirit. And it says that he was doing great signs and wonders among the people. He was chosen actually by the disciples to serve the church because there were needs unmet in the church. And the disciples felt like they were supposed to give themselves to prayer and the word of God and preaching and all of that. And so they brought Stephen in to help with the work of the ministry. And one day it says he was preaching the gospel and a group of people came against him and were arguing with him. But this is what it says. You can go back and read it on your own. It says that they were no match for the wisdom and the Spirit of God in him. So the religious leaders and the scholars and all the people, they're all stirred up. And they grab Stephen and they bring him in before the council. And it says that they looked at him. And as they looked at him, they saw, it says that his face was like the face of an angel. Face of an angel. What was that? That was the presence of the Holy Spirit upon him. The presence of the Holy Spirit upon him. And in this angelic face, he preaches the good news of Jesus. He preaches the gospel, and he actually confronts them with the truth. And in doing so, he's very bold. He actually calls them a stiff-necked people. And he says, you guys always resist the Holy Spirit just like your fathers did. You can imagine how that went over. And it says that as these leaders, they heard what Stephen was saying, it says they were enraged. They started grinding their teeth at him. How many know that whenever they start grinding their teeth, it's not going to be pretty? It's about to get real. And in Acts 7 with verse 55, it says this, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 55, Acts 7. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, look what he did. Gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, he declared what he saw. Behold, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They plugged their ears. Just imagine this. They plugged their ears because they don't want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Plugged their ears and they rushed at him. And they cast him out of the city. And it says they stoned him. They stoned him. And it says that as they were stoning Stephen, he called out. He cries out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And it says, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, get this, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And I know this seems a little bit random, but it was just what I was chewing on this week. And what leapt out to me is that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I hear a lot of stories in Acts and places they were filled, but it's not very often you hear someone is full. He was full of the Spirit. What does he do? What does a person that's full of the Spirit like Stephen do? He gazes into heaven. He gazes into heaven and he sees the glory of God. What does he see? He sees Jesus who's standing at the right hand of the Father. He's not even seated. I don't know what that all means, but I wonder if Jesus was standing because he was like watching what was about to happen. Standing at the right hand of the Father, and in the midst of this persecution, in the midst of this trial, in this tribulation, and this horrible moment, as he's being stoned, Stephen set the Lord before him. He set his eyes on Jesus. at the right hand of the Father. And because of that, he is not shaken even unto death. Oh, that we would have a church that is not shaken even unto death. I'm telling you, this consumer Christianity thing will not work. We need a church that is not shaken even unto death, because we are so full of the Holy Spirit. And in the midst of being stoned, he cries out to the Lord for his accusers. We need a church like that too. That's so full of the Spirit that even when those that are doing us wrong come and accuse us or stone us or whatever they do to us, that our prayer is, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Church, I believe that Stephen is a picture of what Jesus said, out of you will flow rivers of living water. I want to suggest to you today that this is what people who are full of the Spirit do in the midst of great and extreme difficulty. What do? We gaze into heaven. We lock eyes with the one who was and is to come. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be put to shame. Come on. Church, what are we going to see in the middle of what we face? What are we going to see in the middle of what we face? There has been such a significant shaking. Charity, you can come. I'm going to be done in a minute. There's been such a significant shaking that's gone on in the last few years. And guys, things continue to shake, don't they? The world's been on a roller coaster, and just when you think the ride might be coming to an end, it ramps up again, right? But church, guess what? We don't have to ride that ride. We don't have to ride that ride because we're citizens of a kingdom that will not be shaken. And that kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. Where is it? In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. And I want to suggest to you today that the way forward is to pursue the presence of God in our midst. I want to suggest to you that the way forward is to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us have been trying to live life in our own strength, in our own power, and even our greatest desire to please God. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work without the power and the presence and the river of God flowing in your life. It's just not going to work. I want to suggest to you today the way forward is full of him, walking in boldness, walking in power, walking in the fear of the Lord. It's not a time to live in dryness. It's a time to flow with the water and the river of God. That's no condemnation if you're dry. Today, you're going to be able to take a drink. What does this mean, walking in the fear of the Lord? It means that I'm more aware of him than anything else. It means that I am, when I wake up tomorrow, I'm aware of the people in my house, but I'm more aware of him. It means when I'm at work tomorrow, wherever I am, that even though I'm fully engaged in what God's called me to do, I'm actually most aware of him. I'm most aware of what he's saying, of what he's doing. In the middle of that trouble, in the middle of that difficulty, in the middle of that mountain, yes, I see it, but I'm more aware of him. How is this possible? If anyone comes, anyone believes, come and drink, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Where is the joy? In his presence. If you're looking for joy anywhere else, you're not going to find it. I heard this John Eldridge give this little interview, and he said, we're going to have the biggest summer of people going to the beach. He said, you know what? They're going to go for a week or two. They're going to come back. They're still going to be depleted. The beach isn't going to fix it. After what we've been through in the last few years, the beach isn't going to fix it. I've been to the beach. It didn't fix it. I'm trying to go back again. I don't think it's going to fix it. You know what's going to fix it? The rivers of living water flowing through us. It's the only thing. I'm telling you right now, that relationship isn't going to fix the depletion you feel. Your wife or your husband being more what you want them to be, it's not going to fix it. I'm telling you what, it's going to be the river of God flowing through you, through the church. That's where the joy is. Where's the peace? The peace is found in the presence. Where's the righteousness? It's found in the Holy Spirit. And when I'm more aware of him than anything else, I want to tell you, that's where the pleasures are forevermore. If anyone thirsts, let him come. Do we have any thirsty people here today? Like five. Okay. Hey, there's going to be a lot of drinks for you five. I'm telling you, because there's a tap from heaven here today. And it's for everybody. I want to invite you to stand up. I want to tell you this promise. I'm going to invite our ministry team to just come right now. And this is going to be less about personal prayer, but I want to have the ministry team come forward. Here's a promise. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. We're living in a thirsty world, aren't we? The world is thirsty. The world is thirsty for a church that boldly proclaims and experiences the supernatural power of God. And I want to tell you today, as your pastor, I believe that part of what I'm called to is to create space for you to come and drink. For those of you who are tired, who are weary, I believe that today is a day where you can come and you can drink.